Call to order the Education Subcommittee of the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. This is Wednesday, August the 6th, and we are here for a work session on House Bill 5042. Open the work session on House Bill 5042. Mr. Bender.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members. Today you have a work session on House Bill 5042, the funding bill for OHSU. You haven't had any work sessions yet on this bill, so this will be the first one. And I've distributed to you a memorandum of the LFO recommendation. If you looked at the one that was distributed to you last night, and especially if you brought that with you, they look very similar at first. So please make sure you're looking at the today's memo, which is dated August 6th, and does not have the term draft in the subject line. That is the memo that I'd like to go through with you, if I may. I've also distributed to you, and you should see, a set of the House Bill 5042-3 amendments. These amendments are consistent with the recommendation that you have before you, and the LFO recommendation is, if you do approve our recommendation, that you will need to adopt these amendments as well. Just in a very brief review, House Bill 5042 is printed with a general fund appropriation to the Department of Administrative Services for transfer to OHSU to support OHSU's education and clinical programs. There's another source of funding that was in the governor's budget and that is in the co-chair's budget for OHSU's Oregon Opportunity Program, which is an effort on the university's part to expand its capacity in bioscience and biotech research. That particular effort is being funded by a series of general obligation bonds that will be sold, and the funding for that was originally placed in a different bill, House Bill 5002. We are trying to get all of the funding for OHSU into this bill here. So the amendments, which have considerable language, if you look at them, basically what they're doing is they're bringing over that funding for the Opportunity Grant Program and adding that into House Bill 5042. If there are no additional questions, I would just start going through the seven recommendations that we have here. That's pleasure of the chair.
Additional questions on the dash threes? Let's proceed then, and we'll just wrap this all up with some motions at the end.
Okay. First recommendation is relates to the general fund appropriation that supports OHSU's education, clinical programs, and those include the Child Development and Rehabilitation Center. The governor had a level of general fund for OHSU, and the co-chair's budget requires a reduction in that amount in order to help balance the state's budget. We recommend that the subcommittee reduce the general fund appropriation for OHSU by $9,300,000 to conform to the funding available in the co-chair's budget. The impact of this would be a close to 10% reduction from the roughly $93.7 million that was in the governor's budget to a $84.4 million level.
Questions or comments? Please proceed, Mr. Bender.
Item 2 relates to funding for the Oregon Poison Center. In this respect, the memo that you have before you today is different from the draft version that you received last night. So I would like to point that out and indicate what the agreement is for funding the Oregon Poison Center. The budget is to provide an additional $1.4 million beyond what is provided in this bill from the criminal fines and assessment account, which will be distributed to OHSU, or allocated, I should say, to OHSU in Senate Bill 5513. My understanding is that particular bill is scheduled for later today in a different subcommittee of Ways and Means. To clarify expectations regarding Poison Center funding, what we are recommending that the subcommittee do is to approve a budget note which reads as follows. The subcommittee expects that the general fund appropriation for the Oregon Health and Science University, along with the $1.4 million of criminal fines and assessment revenues, will be sufficient to continue existing center services through the 2003-05 biennium, where that center refers to the Oregon Poison Center. That is to say, the understanding is that the university will continue the current operations of the center through the remaining, or through the, this current biennium, under the budgets that would be approved under this bill and the allocation under Senate Bill 5513.
Questions or comments on the budget notes?
Just a quick comment.
Representative Bates.
The Poison Control Center, as we all know, is a vital service that OHSU provides to the state and out-of-state areas. I understand this budget note does not preclude them from getting funds from other sources to help support this program if they are able to do so, private or otherwise, and that they will be free to manage this program as they will and as they have in the past very successfully, looking for efficiencies in its operation but maintaining the basic services. My understanding is that is what this budget note allows them to do.
Representative Bates, that is also my understanding of the budget note.
I also make the comment that, you know, making sausage is not always the best process, but it works, so let's get it done.
Senator Gordley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm going to support the budget note along with the overall budget, but I do want to say for the record that I was very disappointed to have a conversation with representatives of OHSU, which suggested that if we weren't able to go forward with some general fund funding for the Poison Center, that could mean or would mean a diminishing of support or services to the poor, the underserved. And I really found it really rather outrageous that the choice would be presented in that way. And I say that because I recall our earlier hearings with OHSU and the discussions that we had around the mission of this institution. And I just want to say again for the record that it is the mission of OHSU to continue a commitment to provide health care to the underserved patient population of Oregon. And I'm not questioning that the commitment is there. I believe that it is. But I am saying that it was very disappointing to have a public policy choice presented in the manner that it was. And that's the point I'm making here.
Thank you. Further comments? Mr. Bender, let's proceed.
Item number three refers to the situation in the School of Nursing. There was considerable discussion in the subcommittee during the public hearings on this budget about the state's nursing shortage. LFO recommends that the subcommittee adopt the following understanding and place this into the budget report for this bill, and that is to note that the approved budget includes $11.02 million of general fund dedicated to the School of Nursing, and that the university shall allocate no less than this amount of general fund for the direct expenses of the School of Nursing during the 2003-05 biennium. A little explanation is in order as to what this number 11.02 is. 11.02 represents twice the amount that the university has allocated for the direct expenses of the School of Nursing for this first fiscal year. OHSU budgets annually, not biennially, so they have not approved a budget yet for the second year of the biennium. But this basically represents the amount that they had committed to the nursing school based on the level in the co-chair's budget of the $84.4 million in general fund. The interest in this is to clarify an expectation that the board of the OHSU board took when they decided how to implement a reduction in levels of funding from the level that the governor had originally proposed in anticipation of a budget of approximately this level being passed out. They did impose a smaller reduction in funding for nursing than was the case typically for other areas that received general fund support. Although the general fund reduction from the governor's budget was approximately 10%, they limited the reduction to the School of Nursing to 5% in order to help maintain those programs in the face of the nursing shortage facing the state. What this would do was this would clarify that this is indeed the legislative expectation that the board maintain this level of funding for the School of Nursing as a important element of the state's efforts to address the nursing shortage.
Questions or comments on including this language in the budget narrative?
Madam Chair,
Representative Bates.
I'm supporting the budget now. My question is, does this in effect produce more nurses or master degree nurses for teaching positions? What is the actual effect of this budget note? Besides not cutting the program financially, what does it mean as far as that money flowing into the program?
Well, this would be the amount that is flowing into the program is still somewhat less than it would have been under the governor's budget. This, though, does protect this level, and I do believe this is protecting the size of the cohort or the class. Oh, it's going up. This is going to be allowing some increase, actually, in the cohorts or the size of the classes that are working through the nursing programs in OHSU.
Thank you.
Further questions or comments? Let's proceed, Mr. Bender.
Regarding the schools of medicine and dentistry, there were some concerns that you expressed about the need to maintain the level of enrollments in these programs, the cohorts in these programs. And you did look at some tuition rate increases and noted that there may be situations where tuition would need to be increased in order to generate funding so that enrollment levels or enrollment course sizes would not have to be reduced. In order to clarify this, we're recommending that you approve a budget note to reflect these concerns, which says the following. The university will maintain enrollment in the MD and DMD programs at current levels or greater throughout the 2003-05 biennium by increasing tuition revenue and by developing other sources of revenue, such as perhaps foundation funds or grant funds, other funds that may be available to support these programs. So this would be an indication from you to the university that you do expect them to maintain the size of these programs, and if tuition increases or other fundraising is necessary for them to do so, they are being directed to do that.
Questions or comments on the budget note relating to the schools of medicine and dentistry? Please proceed, Mr. Bender.
The next three recommendations relate to adding the opportunity grant funding, the Oregon Opportunity Program funding to this budget bill at the amounts approved by the co-chairs. First of all, recommendation 5 refers to the actual funds or amount of funds that will be distributed to OHSU from bond proceeds for this program. The co-chairs approved the same level that the governor did, which is $106,298,400 of Article 11L bond proceeds to OHSU. This language is contained in Section 3 of the House Bill 5042-3 amendments. With this transfer of funds, the full $200 million of funds that were made available when voters approved Article 11L of the Constitution would be transferred to OHSU. So there would be the full amount will have been transferred, and no additional funds would be available under Article 11L.
Questions or comments on the Oregon Opportunity Program? Please proceed, Mr. Bender.
The next item is to add payment of debt service on the Article 11L bonds that have been distributed, that have been issued already. One series has already been issued last biennium, plus the second series, which will provide $106.3 million and to be issued this biennium. The debt service on that is $19,511,274. This is a technically takes the form of an other funds expenditure limitation on payment from the Oregon Health and Science University Bond Fund, since that's the fund that's set up in statute to pay debt service. Sections 4 and 5 of the amendments that are before you are the amendments that add the language to allow the debt service to be paid. One of the things to note is that as part of the co-chair's budget, there is a change in this item from what was in the governor's budget. There's no change in the amount of funds that OHSU is to receive, but in order to preserve limited tobacco master settlement account funds, which are the funds that are used to pay debt service, under the co-chair's budget, DAS will have to issue the bonds approximately 3 months later than had been anticipated in the governor's budget. So we're expecting an issuance of around December 1st this year, though, you know, that's not a date that I would ask you to set. It would be around then. And the interest earnings that would be due and the principal payments that are due on the second series of bonds during the current biennium would be paid from the capitalized proceeds, which is to say from the bonds themselves, and you wouldn't need to use tobacco master settlement monies to do that. By making this restructure, the state's able to reduce the tobacco settlement funds that are needed this biennium by over $10.8 million. These funds then become available for other state needs. And this is all. This would all be a part of the Section 4 and 5 amendments of HB 5042-3.
Any questions or comments on the debt service? Let's proceed then to the bond issuance costs.
The last technical amendment that you need to approve in order to allow the second bond series to be issued is to approve payment of costs related to issuing the bonds, including underwriter's discount. The second series of bonds, which again we are expected to be sold in probably in December of this year, the costs that are estimated to be associated with that issuance is $1,181,626. This is a one-time expense that will occur this biennium and not occur in future biennia. We recommend that you approve the language in Section 6 of the amendments. That would permit those to be paid. And I do note that, in case you haven't noticed, these amendments are printed on both sides of the page. So Section 6 is on the back of the page.
Questions on the bond issuance cost? Then, considering that we are in work session, members, I would accept a motion to move the Dash 3s into House Bill 5042.
So moved.
Have the motion. Is there discussion? Is there objection? Without objection, the motion is carried. I would accept a motion to move the LFO recommendations contained in the memo dated August 6th into House Bill 5042.
So moved.
Have the motion. Is there discussion? Objection. Motion is carried. We take a motion to move House Bill 5042 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
So moved, Madam Chair.
Discussion? Objections? Motion's carried. Representative Bates, if you would be so kind as to carry in full and on the House side. And Senator Gordley, could I prevail upon you for the Senate side?
I'm happy to.
Thank you very much. And having no further business before the committee, this meeting is adjourned, and we will reconvene at the call of the chair.